We are live. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're going to be talking about hamstrings, early stages of rehab. We're here at PSATS 2019 with Brian Goody Goodstein out of DC United. I'm your host, John Seco. You're joining us live on Facebook at Sports Medicine Broadcast, facebook.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast, and the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Goody, G-O-O-D-Y, which is Brian's nickname. Brian, feel free to tell us who you are, and you're kind of a veteran in the league, right?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. This is my 18th season going into DC United, and I've been doing it for quite a while now. So,
Have you only been at DC United, or have you been other places?
Well, for 18 years, I've been with DC United. Back in 2002, I was hired by the Tampa Bay Mutiny as their athletic trainer and did all their preseason conditioning, got ready for physicals, and the team folded. So that term was short-lived.
Right. So we're here, a lot of athletic trainers are listening in. We want to hear about soccer-specific injuries, and we're going to talk about injuries to the hamstring. And Brian, you know, with his wealth of knowledge in the league of MLS, and we wanted to ask him some of his thoughts on the early stages of hamstring injuries, and go ahead and discuss how you evaluate a hamstring injury, that's specific to soccer.
Yeah, obviously a hamstring is the biggest injury in professional soccer, so we see, unfortunately, quite a few of them over the years. We always like to get an MRI image of our hamstring injuries just so we know exactly what grade we're dealing with, how large the injury is, and where exactly anatomically it is, and that will help us give us a time frame for return to play. As far as we always like to get an acute on-field evaluation, and then more of a detailed evaluation in the training room back when we have some time and the athlete has some time to calm down and relax.
Nice, nice. So you said you always have to get an MRI, or you always get an MRI. Is that a must? Is that a red flag? Is that something that we always do, and the importance of it?
For us and for our general manager particularly, it's a must.
Yeah.
Because the difference between a grade 1 and a grade 2 hamstring is 2 to 3 weeks, so It helps us really set a time frame for return to play.
So, you know, when we look at the MRIs and we get the specifics of it, you know, is there a muscle that you see that tends to give you more trouble, or is there something that once you see it, you're like, oh, we're back in a little bit?
Yeah, the ones that are musculotendinous juncture, distal biceps femoris, long head, those are the most troublesome usually. Anything off the proximal attachment takes a little bit longer as well. But the more commonly distal biceps femoris musculotendinous junctures give us the most trouble.
Gotcha, gotcha. So let's discuss the early stages of the rehab. What is something that you do when once you get somebody right off of the field within that first 24 or 48 hours, you get the MRI back and you're able to start doing some exercises with the athlete. Say we're looking at a grade 2-3, what are some things that you do with an athlete?
Yeah, so we always usually keep a compression wrap on the athlete just to decrease swelling. We don't usually put them on anti-inflammatories. We let the injury heal naturally for a while. We do use electric stimulation to pump the blood out of there. We usually send them home with a compact unit so they can do some electric therapy at home. We usually send them home with a game ready acutely so they can work on decreasing swelling. And then we try to start early ranges of motion. We put a blood flow restriction unit, BFR unit, on them early so we can start some active muscle activation and some early biking as soon as possible.
Okay. So you mentioned that you don't put your athletes on anti-inflammatories. That's really, I work in a secondary school, so I work in a high school. And as soon as something happens, you get those kids that are just pumping anti-inflammatories and ibuprofens in. That's something I like to hear, is that, no, you don't always need an anti-inflammatory. Can you speak to that?
You want to let the body take over and let it start to heal itself. You need some of those inflammation processes for the body to get rid of those toxins that's trying to naturally heal the body.
Right. Yeah, that's so important. You try to educate people, right? Do you find any roadblocks when you tell somebody, hey, I don't want you taking Advil or ibuprofen or anything like that? Do they kind of always a question you why? And
most of my athletes over the last few years don't like taking pills. So, right. You know, for other things, when they're later in stages of rehab, you know, first 3 days, I don't give them any anti-inflammatories. Let the body take over. But after that, if they're going through prolonged pain, prolonged tenderness, we will put them on low doses, but right. Don't really believe in it for hamstring injuries.
That's good, good. So we talked about like those more those serious strains, the grades 2 and 3. What about a grade 1? You know, what is there a difference between the grade 1 and the later stages of those?
Yeah, I mean, your grade 1s vary from what, a spasm to, you know, minor tearing of the tissues. So we try to do a lot by tolerance at that point. What okay. can you actively do? And I'm usually, people sometimes play through grade 1 injuries. And
right.
it's just a matter of fact, how much pain do you have? Are you really at increased risk of further injuring yourself?
And that's, we talked to Alex earlier today, and part of that goes along with knowing your athletes. And, you know, are there athletes or, you know, what are some of the techniques that, you know, if it is a grade one that you can get somebody playing, or maybe you have that athlete that has never been injured before, but they have that very slight injury, and you're like, hey, let's keep going. What can we do? What can we keep you doing? You know, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I always want to take the athlete at their word and trust the athlete because
right.
they know their body and it's their career, right? I'm there as a facilitator and give them my best recommendation. Well, we'll get them healthy to play and play at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
If my athletes tell me I'm not at 100%, I recommend to the coach, this guy probably shouldn't play for you because he's not going to give you all he's got and you might do better with someone else.
So are there any exercises that you feel your athletes respond with? When it comes to hamstring, those early stages?
Eccentric loading. As soon as I can start eccentric loading, like a single leg RDL,
mm-hmm.
we start those as soon as possible. Usually have them do supine prone leg curls as soon as possible, standing leg curls as soon as possible, BFR leg curls as soon as possible.
Right. So when you have an athlete that gets injured on the road, can you talk about the difficulties that that creates when you're on the road and you don't have all your equipment with you, or you don't have the availability to really work with them as much as possible as you would at back home? Or
we travel
pretty, you know,
with a pretty good staff of people and modalities, and there's not much difference between traveling on the road. You're a traveling circus and a traveling training room when we go on the road, so I think we're pretty prepared. I mean, the only hard part is getting an MRI if you're away and trusting someone else's doctor to give you a prescription for it.
Right.
You know, when you're at home, you can get the MRI done that day. When you're in other venues, it's a little bit harder.
Gotcha. Now, do you travel with your own team doctor as well?
We don't.
Okay.
We travel with our team doctor for playoff games, for international competitions, things like that.
Right. Gotcha. You know, what are some of the – so you talked about the RDLs, some of the supine leg curls. Are there any non-hamstring specific exercises that you like to incorporate with a rehab?
Glute activation and making sure glute med is firing properly. Releasing their psoas. The tighter their hips are, the more pressure it puts on their hamstrings. So if we can educate their glute med to function properly, it helps biceps fem work properly, and then the rest of the kinetic chain usually goes a little smoother.
So, you know, do you ever... are there times where you have to hold your athletes back from doing exercises? So they, hey, I want to do more. That's
a good question. I mean, it goes back to, is there too much? You know, if you're constantly doing hamstring exercises every day, I think you are doing too much. So you have to strategically incorporate, when do I load the hamstring? When do I load the quads? When do I load the glutes in a systematic system to get them ready to play?
I think we already talked about that, but you know, what is the one exercise that you're always going to incorporate with a hamstring?
A single leg RDL with usually a rotational reach.
Gotcha.
So reaching medially, reaching laterally to get both sides of the hamstrings in an eccentric form.
Gotcha. Is there anything else that in those early stages of the hamstring recovery or injury that you look for as your athlete's kind of coming back from them?
It's a good question as well. Obviously, range of motion. You know, how do they look with a flexed hip, flexed knee, extending their leg? Usually, they'll have the most pain going from that extended position, getting into a straight position, when they have their hip all the way flexed, maximally.
So do you work with your strength and conditioning staff as well as you're going through those early stages?
Not terribly. We usually, in DC United's program, we usually take all the early stage program, give them a program until they're ready to go to an on-field stage.
Gotcha. Is there anything else that you wanted to add about the early stages?
Yeah, as soon as you can get them moving comfortably without pain, do it as much as you can and let the body try to educate itself on what it can do. And their confidence will grow as the more function they can do.
Good.
I'm a big function guy. What functionally can you do without pain?
Right. So, obviously, being in the league for quite a while, you know, what are some of the what's something that you would tell somebody that's new in the league as an athletic trainer or somebody that wants to get into professional soccer or into professional sports? What's some words of wisdom that you would give to a young athletic trainer?
Yeah, hard work. People appreciate hard work and volunteering your time. Things aren't given easily, and you have to get your foot in the door, and sometimes that's working for free and showing your abilities and showing your knowledge. And you know, you're in this job to help people, so offer to help people and have your athletes trust you. That's the only way you'll do it is by offering your assistance and gaining their respect.
Gotcha. Brian, if anybody would like to reach you, is there any way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, Brian Goodstein at DCUnited.com or Brian Goodstein at Hotmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you. Brian, if you have anything else that you'd like to add?
That's about it.
All right.
I appreciate you having me.
I appreciate you being on. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.